Shiro's face did not show any surprise. "Name it." Nicodemus's voice dropped lower. "Swear to me that you will make no effort to escape, that you will summon no aid, that you will not release yourself quietly."
"And let you keep me for years?"
"No,
but I will give you this day. 24 hours. It is enough."
I shook my head at Shiro.
"Don't do this. I knew what I was doing. Michael will need your—"
Nicodemus delivered a swift jab to my right kidney, and I lost my breath.
"Be silent," he said.
He focused his attention on Shiro and inclined his head slowly.
24 hours. Agreed.
Shiro mirrored the gesture.
"Now, let him go."
"Very well," Nicodemus said. "As soon as you release my daughter and lay down your sword, the wizard will go free. I swear it."
The old knight only smiled.
"I know the value of your promises, and you know the value of mine."
I felt an eager tension in my captor. He leaned forward and said,
"Swear it."
"I do,"
Shiro said. And as he did, he placed his palm lightly along the base of his sword's blade. He lifted it to show a straight cut on his hand, already dribbling blood.
"Set him free. I will take his place as you demand."
Nicodemus's shadow writhed and boiled on the ground at my feet, bits of it lashing hungrily towards Shiro. The Denarian let out a harsh laugh, and the knife left my neck. He made a couple of quick movements, cutting the rope, holding my wrists. Without the support of my bonds, I fell. My body screamed in pain. It hurt so much that I didn't notice him cutting my feet free until it was done. I didn't make any noise, partly because I was too proud to let Nicodemus know how bad I felt, partly because I didn't have enough breath to whimper anyway.
"Harry," Shiro said, "get up."
I tried. My legs and feet were numb. Shiro's voice changed, carrying a quiet note of authority and command.
"Get up."
I did it, barely. The wound on my leg felt hot and painful, and the muscle around it twitched and clenched involuntarily.
"Foolishness," Nicodemus commented.
"Courage," Shiro said. "Harry, come over here. Get behind me."
I managed to lurch to Shiro's side. The old man never looked away from Nicodemus. My head spun a bit, and I almost lost my balance. My legs felt like dead wood from the knees down, and my back had started cramping. I ground my teeth and said,
"I don't know how far I can walk."
"You must," Shiro said.
He knelt down by Deirdre, resting his knee on her spine, and wrapped one arm around her throat. She began to move, but the old man applied pressure, and Deirdre went still again with a whimper of discomfort. That done, Shiro gave Phidolacius a flick, and the beads of blood upon it sprinkled against one wall. He sheathed the blade in a liquid movement, drew the cane sheath from his belt, and then passed the hilt of the sword back toward me.
"Take it."
I said,
"I don't have a real good record with handling these things."
"Take it."
"Michael and Sonya might not be too happy with me if I do."
Shiro was quiet for a moment before he said,
"They will understand. Take it now."
I swallowed and did. The wooden hilt of the sword felt too warm for the room, and I could sense a buzz of energy emanating from it in rippling waves. I made sure I had a good grip on it. Shiro said quietly,
"They will come for you.
Go.
Second right, ladder up."
Nicodemus watched me as I fell back through the doorway into the dimness of the hall beyond it. I stared at Shiro for a moment. He knelt on the floor, still holding Deirdre's neck at the breaking point, his eyes on Nicodemus. From the back, I could see the wrinkled skin on the back of his neck, the age spots on his freshly shaved scalp. Nicodemus's shadow had grown to the size of a movie screen, and it covered the back wall and part of the floor, twitching and writhing slowly closer to Shiro. I turned and headed down the tunnel as quickly as I could. Behind me, I heard Nicodemus say,
"Keep your word, Japan. Release my daughter."
I looked back. Shiro released the girl and stood up. She flung herself away from him, and as she did, Nicodemus's shadow rolled forward like an ocean wave and crashed over the old knight. One moment he was there. The next, the room where he stood went totally black, filled with the rasping, seething mass of Nicodemus's demon shadow.
"Kill the wizard," Nicodemus snarled. "Get the sword."
Deirdre let out a wild, primal scream from somewhere inside the darkness. I heard ripping, tearing sounds. I heard popping noises that might have been bones breaking or joints being dislocated. Then I heard the steely, slithery rasp of Deirdre's hairdo, and a half a dozen metallic strands whipped toward me from the darkness. I shuffled back, and the blades fell short of me. I turned around and started hobbling away. I didn't want to leave Shiro there, but if I stayed, I only would have died with him. My shame dug at me like a knife. More blades emerged from the dark, presumably while Deirdre was still transforming into her demonic aspect. It couldn't be long before she finished and came flashing down the hallway after me. If I couldn't get myself clear, I'd be done for. So once again, I ran like hell, and hated myself for doing it.